This summer, the world must answer one question. Why has no one made a popsicle that gets you high yet?
That's right, it's summer, and it's time for you to get your hands on America's new favorite product, Danksicles. 20 milligrams of THC in two great flavors, the latest and greatest innovation from IndiCloud.
Is IndiCloud the greatest company to come out of America? Maybe. But what we do know for sure is that IndiCloud is the best way to get dispensary-grade cannabis delivered directly to your door, 100% legally. Yes, they ship legally to all states. No medical card needed. Whether it's vapes as big as your head, flowers you won't find in your mom's garden, or, of course, popsicles that get you high as what are you waiting for? Go to IndiCloud.co/spring24 and get discreet delivery on top-shelf THC products. Head over to IndiCloud.co/spring24. That's co, not com, to snag 30% off your first order.
From Television City in Hollywood, it's the Carol Burnett Show with Harvey Korman, Vicki Lawrence, and Lyle Waggoner.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Burt Reynolds and Charles Bronson podcast. I am your host, Scott White, and I am joined once again by Steph DeWagoner.
Hi. Happy New Year, everybody.
New year, new show, new episode. And this episode, we are doing the Carol Burnett Show.
This is one that I brought to your attention.
Yes, with Burt Reynolds. He is one of the guest stars.
I think this is the only time that Burt guested on Carol Burnett, unless he made some cameo, like as a surprise or
something. I believe that is true, too. Now, I know they were friends.
Yeah, it kind of surprised me that, because I would have thought that Burt would have wanted been on there more. I would have thought Carol would have wanted to have him on there more, but who knows, maybe just
I know, what was, he had that theater in Florida, and I know they did plays together in that theater.
Yeah, and he's not... Overall, he is not bad in this episode. Overall, as a Carol Burnett episode, is not my favorite. It's kind of meh, but we'll get into that in a minute. But he's actually good in this, and I'm surprised he wasn't on again.
It opens up.
It's Burt Reynolds and Nanette Fabre.
Yes.
Who, did you know a lot about Nanette Fabre?
I just knew her as the mom on One Day at a Time.
Oh, the grandma.
The grandmother, yes.
So Nanette Fabre is actually, you know, to me, whenever people ask me what my inspiration is to be an improviser or why did I become an improviser, I always see Carol Burnett. I grew up watching the Carol Burnett Show for 10, 11 years, influenced me greatly into pursuing comedy and improv. Nanette Fabre is probably one of the people that had a little influence on Carol because she was Sid Caesar's cohort on his show.
On your show of shows. Her and Imogen Coco.
Well, but actually on Sid Caesar's show, not on your show of shows, but actually on his show. Yeah. She was like the girl on his show. So she actually goes way back to that day of like Imogen Coco and Carl Reiner and Sid Caesar. Mm-hmm. So she actually had a pretty big following in the 50s as a comedian.
So Carol comes out as she would do.
Yeah, this is season five. This is mid-season, season five, 1972.
It's 1972. We know that because when she brings out Burt, she goes, his new movie Deliverance is coming out.
That's right. When Carol did her traditional, let's turn up the lights and see if the audience has any questions, she would every once in a while bring out the guest star and let the audience ask them questions too, especially if it was somebody she was really fond of or thought the audience would love seeing. So I watched this, and I think you did too, on YouTube as a full 90-minute episode, which is what the Carol Burnett Show was. If you go to Pluto, you get the 30-minute, like, Carol Burnett and Friends that is highly edited. So you want to watch the full episode because otherwise you're going to miss a ton of content. But yeah, she brings Burt out. He is his charming
the
self.
Funny thing is there's a lot of young women in the audience, and then she goes, yeah, he's going to star in Deliverance. Go see that.
So, yeah, right? Who knew?
And who knew? Yes, I'm sure she didn't know what that movie was about.
I did think it was funny when people were asking questions. Did you catch the one old guy who stood up and goes, hey, Burt, how are you? And Burt's like, good. He goes, oh, I was in Dead August with you. Yes. You know, so some old character actor that happened to be there and... You know, so I thought that was funny.
Hey, I want to bring out a gentleman. We're so happy to have him on our show this week. He's a living doll, Mr. Burt Reynolds. It's for Bert. Mm-hmm. The girl there. Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Have you ever?
Yes, I have.
What you want to ask?
I forgot.
You...
Yes.
How many movies?
Well, I've made 7 or 8 that are playing in the film festival in Poland. I've made about 5 that I like. Actually, 2 that I like.
He has one that's coming out that's sensational with John Voight called Deliverance, and that's going to be out...
In August. Yeah, it's a good picture.
Do see it. Do.
It's a good picture.
Yes.
Yeah.
How did you get your big start in showbiz?
Big start in showbiz.
Yes. Got it about 10 minutes ago. I was a stuntman, and I used to fall downstairs and get hit by things and get thrown out of windows. Fortunately, now I'm just plain leading men.
Well, you see what we do to him tonight. Yes, sir. Yes.
Bert, how are you?
Very good, sir.
Worked with you at Dan August.
Oh, yes, you did. How are you? Very good.
The gentleman who worked with you in Dan August?
Dan August. Worked with me. Poor devil's canceled now.
Did you ever watch Dan August?
I've seen a couple of episodes, yeah. But...
I did also think it was funny, just to show you a sign of the times, Carol mentions in her little Q&A with the audience that the week prior, or a couple weeks prior, she bought a box of Girl Scout cookies mm-hmm. from the Girl Scouts and bought it for like 50 cents, mm-hmm. but it was really supposed to be $1.
Yeah.
They're $5 now.
Yeah.
$5 for a box of Girl Scout cookies. So there's the cost of living for you.
We come back. Carol's like, well, Bert wanted to do something different.
Did they do a commercial first?
There's
a bunch of blackouts.
And I was just wondering, this episode has a ton of quick blackout commercials.
Every once in a while, they would do on the Carol Burnett show, Carol Burnett takes a look at the year's funniest commercials, or they would do a block of commercial bits, and for some reason in this episode, they're peppered throughout as like a blackout.
Yeah, and I believe you're right. The first one is the airline.
Fly me.
This is our first of 2 gay jokes in the episode.
Yes. Also, did you notice this episode is super light on Vicki Lawrence, somewhat light on Lyle Wagner, but it's not. There's not a lot. This episode does not have any of the regular sketches. There's no family sketch. There's no like Stella Toddler. Mm-hmm. There's no Fenton Mundane. Mm-hmm. There's no like regular repeated sketches in this mm-hmm. episode.
There used to be a commercial.
Well, George and Zelda, but yeah. We'll talk about that.
There used to be a commercial for
an airline.
I'm Mary. Fly me.
Rule of 3s. That's what
rule of
3.
So the first one is an actual stewardess at the time. The second was a stewardess, and then the third one is Harvey Korman.
I'm Bruce.
I'll fly anywhere.
I did notice that the girls, like the dancer, the chorus girls, they get a lot of stuff in this episode.
I noticed it's like this show must have cost a lot because of just all the extras.
Well,
and all the song and dance.
Carol Burnett talks about how this show every week put on a full-blown musical comedy review plus all these sketches. So imagine it's Saturday Night Live, and at the end of the episode, the last like 15, 20 minutes, is some big full-blown musical production. Mm. That's what they did.
Yep.
And they would shoot it. They would do the dress rehearsal and film that. And then they would film, like, Saturday Night Live. Mm. And they would also film, you know, the final episode. Mm. But a lot of times the dress rehearsal sketch would end up in the final taping. But, yeah.
All the times that Harvey Korman was cracking up.
Right.
Yeah.
But they had a full orchestra. Mm-hmm. They had a huge company of dancers. So, yeah, I can imagine, you know, but she got good ratings, you know. But, yeah, that was National Airlines had the Fly Me, and so that was the whole joke with that.
So then we go to Bert. Carol's like, Bert's on the show, and he wants to do something different, so he wants to do song and dance. So he sings.
He never gets to sing, so he does kind of a Dean Martin-style song.
Yeah.
And you know what? I forgot to write down the title of the song.
So did I, and I can't remember.
But it's supposed to be set up very much like a Dean Martin with the girls all around him, and he's how beautiful the girls are, and he's singing and kissing their hands and kissing their cheeks. But very wisely, Bert's not a great singer. Mm. It turns into like a stunt.
In this episode, Bert does his own stunts, and they are impressive.
Yeah, this is actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's I think Bert was a good sport. He mentioned earlier in the Q&A that he started out as a stuntman.
We did the movie, The Last Movie Star.
Yes.
And he mentioned in there that he started as a stuntman.
So you could definitely see it. And they've got him set up in this big grand stage with all these beautiful girls. And there's a lot of funny stunts in this. And he knocks a piano over. He hangs from a chandelier.
The final stunt is he rolls down a flight of stairs onto a table.
Yes. Yeah. Like I say, Bert's content in this episode is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then we go to another commercial, right?
Yes. It's the headache commercial.
Right. It's the headache.
It's just a simple commercial where Harvey Korman can't get the lid off of the, oh man, you ever come home hungover? You can put a tablet in the water, but look how long it takes it to dissolve. You can take this, and it just takes him.
But he can't get it open.
Yes, he can't get it open.
These are all parodies of commercials of
the time. And then we had.
Is it George and Zelda camping?
Yes.
So that is a repeatable sketch because that Zelda, George, yeah. Where it's yeah. Harvey Korman is this nice guy that's married to this just a shrew of a woman, Zelda, and she always wears her socks with her sandals and her bra straps hanging out, and she's annoying and self-absorbed, and he just is like, just wants somebody to put him out of his misery. He literally shoots into the tent to try to kill her, you know, but she's immortal. He can't get rid of her.
The line that made me laugh was, this altitude is making my ears hurt. Do your ears hurt? He's like, not from the altitude.
Right.
George!
Well, almost everywhere.
I might have known I'd find you sitting out here not doing anything.
Zelda, that's what camping is all about. You're supposed to relax.
Relax! How do you expect me to relax up here a million miles away from nowhere with no conveniences?
And I mean no conveniences.
Zelda.
Oh, this place stinks.
Zelda.
I've been miserable ever since we got up to this crummy place. My nose is running and my sinuses are all clogged up. And I can't hear anything. George, it's the altitude. Do your ears hurt?
Not from the altitude.
So it's funny. It's a regular sketch.
And then we have Vicki Lawrence in the mouthwash commercial.
Scoop mouthwash. It's a parody of Scope.
So she's rehearsing in the mirror how to tell her...
What do you call
karate instructor.
Yeah, I was going to say at the dojo. She's trying to tell her sensei.
She uses a real Oriental name, like
Mr. Amagi or something. Yes. And
Burt Reynolds comes out, and I'm like, oh, God, don't. I'm like, is he going to do
Japanese?
He just comes out as Burt Reynolds.
With no shirt.
With no shirt on. He keeps breathing into her face.
Yeah, the whole bit is that he uses Scoop, but as a aftershave.
Yes.
Not as a mouthwash. Yeah.
And then Nanette does a musical number.
She sings a song called It's a Musical World, which was a Petula Clark song. I had to look it up. So Nanette Fabre does this big musical number. Mm. And it's a nice number. And the dancers are in it. And there's a nice big dance break. So it's a pleasant 1970s musical number on a variety show. Then we have another commercial.
Harvey Korman is in bed. He's like, I can't sleep. Nanette comes in as his wife. It's like, night-night. And he takes the pills and he goes right out. And then Lyle Waggoner, who is shirtless, comes out behind it. So the punchline is she's having an affair with this guy and she just put her husband to sleep.
Right.
So. And they had double beds, which was 70s.
Well, it's the 70s,
We had, the Brady Bunch had single, but who knows. Anyway, I love the fact that she's having an affair, but they had to have double beds in the sketch.
Now, is this the library then?
Betty Bookworm.
Okay, so I thought this was going to be different, and then I was like, it's another musical number. What is with this episode?
It was Carol Burnett singing seriously with funny lyrics.
The audience would laugh kind of uncomfortably.
Yes.
And I looked up this song and could not figure out what the song was. It's got to be from a musical or something, because a lot of times what they would do is they would do a song from a musical or from a movie, but would put kind of their spin on it. Like, one of the best examples is she sings, by the time he gets to, Phoenix, I'll be gone, whatever. Popular pop song from the 70s, but she puts like a comic sketch on her trying to leave. The car won't start. She has to take a tricycle. Right. This is supposed to be kind of the same vein, but I cannot figure out what this song is. It was driving me crazy. The lyrics are kind of quirky and funny, and the whole idea is that she's Betty Bookworm, can't get all the other college kids at the library have dates.
All the other college kids who are in their mid-30s.
Well, but she's shushing them all the time, so they all leave, and they're mean to her, like, must be terrible to be alone. So she sings this kind of melancholy song about, oh, she could have married this guy, or she could have married this guy, but she was in love with Al, and sings about Al. It's Carol Burnett. Is that, then we have the airline with the piano lounge commercial? That's funny.
So-and-so Airlines, where we have
a piano lounge in our first class cabin.
And I guess, because I've seen TV shows from the 70s where they have pianos and...
Well, do you remember, was it Airport 77 or Airport 75 where that, what's the one where they end up underwater?
I think that, 77.
So it had a guy who was sort of a popular singer at the time. He was blind and he was like a singer and actor. And he played, he's the guy that's the piano player on this airplane that has like a, you walk up the stairs or down the stairs to the piano lounge.
Yes,
on
like
plane.
And there's stairs in the planes. Like travel was much more elegant back then.
Yeah, so the whole thing is on blah, blah, blah Airlines, we've got a piano lounge. So they pan to Bert.
And Bert's like, I've never been popular at parties. Maybe if I start singing. So he walks over to the piano, starts playing. And then everybody grabs him, picks him up, and just throws him out of the airplane. You know, he sticks his face up. It's like, I could play a different song.
The you know what? The one thing I thought they missed in that is they gave the joke away too fast. Because he got up to go play. And
They should have went around and like...
Right, because they look up and immediately they look mad. Yes. It would have been better if they looked up and for a second and looked where you weren't sure if they were like...
They were all going to stand around and start singing with him.
But instead, they all just get up and grab him and throw him out the plane door. And then we have a movie parody. But this isn't a real movie parody like when they did Double Indemnity or Gone with the Wind or something like that. This is more of a style of a movie parody. This isn't based on exactly the Scarlet Pimpernel. It's called the Lavender Pimpernel. Mm. This is based more on kind of a mix of the story of the Scarlet Pimpernel and the Leslie Howard movie, but it's not an exact parody of the Leslie Howard movie. But it's the Lavender Pimpernel, so this is set in, it's France, but okay, so we see Harvey Korman. Did you, tell me if you thought this reminded me of Count de Monet from History of the World Part
Oh
one.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
So I was like, oh, well, here's our first inkling of when we of what we would later see as Count de Monet in History of the World Part One. Count de Monet, Count de Monet. He calls for his aide-de-camp, Charles de Gay.
Where is Charles de Gay, my aide-de-camp?
At your service, my liege.
De Gay, may I make a suggestion?
Of course.
A little... A little more aid and a little less camp. De Gay, my bride-to-be is expected momentarily. Is everything prepared?
Yes, sir. Oh, my goodness, I forgot the rouge and the lipstick.
She probably has her own.
I wasn't talking about her.
Now stop that, you! Stop that or you make me angry. And you know what happens when I get angry.
Your eyes sparkle.
I don't mean that.
Your teeth shine.
Now listen to me.
Oh, I love that.
When I marry Gabrielle Pomme de Terre, I shall be the most powerful duke in all of France. Nothing can stop me, do you hear? Nothing.
Huh? What about the Lavender Pimpernel?
You ever mention his name again in my presence? That outlaw, that friend of the peasants who seems to know my every move.
Now, the whole story of the Scarlet Pimpernel is that, like, for example, in the 1930s movie, Leslie Howard is this foppish court person who really secretly is the brave and handsome and dashing Scarlet Pimpernel.
They don't play him gay there. They just play him as meek and timid.
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about Burt Reynolds, or you're talking about the original?
I'm talking about the original. Maybe not me, but as a, you know, a gentleman.
But in this, he is flat out, Burt Reynolds is playing gay.
He's playing flaming gay.
In fact, to the point that Harvey Korman says, how about a little more Aiden and a little less camp? And yeah, he's got a little beauty mark. He's got his wig. He's got his pink frilly, you know, costume on. He's having fun doing it. It's just like, it's so politically incorrect nowadays. Like, no way. Like, I could just see Bowen Yang, like, having a heart attack on SNL seeing this. And then, so the whole idea is that the count or the is that Harvey Korman is playing is supposed to marry Carol Burnett. And so Carol Burnett and her best friend, Nanette Fabre, are two sort of well-off ladies, but this is like an arranged marriage.
This is arranged marriage so Harvey Korman can get more power.
Right, and get her land, and it keeps her father out of jail. And
Lyle Wagner is in the sketch, and he is the only one who knows that Burt Reynolds is a Scarlet.
Yes, he's
in. And Lyle Wagner is 6'4", Harvey Korman is 6'3", and you can really see it when Burt Reynolds stands in between them. Like, when they say he's 6'1", they're really pushing it when they say that, because you can really see that.
I was looking at his shoes to just see, like, were there lifts
in his shoes? Oh, yeah. I mean, when he came out in his tuxedo, he was definitely wearing heels.
So Lyle Wagner's the one person that knows that Charles de Gay is really the Lavender Pimpernel. And the whole secret, I did think this was funny, because much like Superman, where like Clark Kent's big disguise is his glasses, the Scarlet Pimpernel's is his beauty mark. Yes. When he takes his beauty mark off, people don't know it's him.
So Carol Burnett and, what's her name?
Nanette Fabre.
Show up. Burt Reynolds comes in as the...
Lavender Pimpernel.
He comes in...
Oh, it's Charles de Gay.
And she's, get away from me. And then they leave, and then he turns into this Lavender Pimpernel, and he jumps out the window. He jumps out of a lot of windows.
Yeah, he gets to jump on stuff and out of stuff, and gets to sword fight, and gets to, you know...
So he jumps out of one window, and then jumps into her window. Carol Burnett and Burt are having a fun time. So she's following him around like, oh, yeah. And Nanette is like, you can't marry him. And she's like, shut up. And then...
Right, her friend's like, you've got to marry the count, you know, or else your father's...
Or else he'll overrun the country, and then they hear guards coming.
This isn't the best written movie parody. It's a little, like, there's not... The stakes are pretty low in this. Mm-hmm. It's like, she either has to marry this terrible guy, or run off with the Lavender Pimpernel. It's just basically an excuse for Burt to jump around and jump through windows.
It'd be very swashbuckling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the greatest movie parody ever on the Carol Burnett Show.
So he jumps out of another window, and then we cut to the wedding, and Burt Reynolds is there, and it's like, you're the bride, and you're the groom, who are you? And he's like, I'm the best man. And everybody does,
Right.
And he's like, so do you have the ring? And he's like, oh, no, I don't, excuse me. So he leaves, he comes back in as this Lavender Pimpernel. Then there's a bunch of sword fights. They were pretty entertaining. There's one scene where Burt stabs three people, and it's like...
That was funny. And, well, he had trouble getting his sword out. Yes. That was funny. His sword got hooked up on his costume, so that...
I was surprised that Harvey did... It must be Tim, because Burt was being pretty funny, and Harvey wasn't cracking. So it must be something that this Tim had on him.
And Burt Reynolds, this is like, you know, we talked about the Jonathan Winters show a couple episodes ago and all this... You know, he just has fun on these shows.
Yes.
He doesn't take himself too seriously.
So they get into a sword fight and kills Harvey Korman. And all during this, Carol Burnett is like, no, run away. And he's like, no, get out of here. I don't want you to get hurt. And he keeps throwing her. So Carol Burnett is doing pratfalls.
Yes.
Which is great. And she's like, I don't even know who you are. Burt forgot to take his beauty mark off. So he puts another one on.
Now he's got two.
He's got two, which was a total mistake.
Right.
And Carol's staring at him, and then he realizes, so he throws one off. And
I will say this. Any episode of the Carol Burnett Show, one of the great things is Bob Mackie's costumes. This show is filled with great costumes from Bob Mackie, from the musical number that Burt does with the girls, to this sketch, to the big musical number at the end. You know, Bob Mackie always outdid himself with the costume.
All through this sketch, he's been jumping out windows, and he's like, no, we're together now. We can go through a door, and then they... they jump through the door. To me, I think that should have been the final sketch of the episode. I think that's how they should have ended it because, you know, everybody was in it.
But they always ended with a musical number. So then the big ending musical number is this musical number that was, I thought, well, it's season five. We're about halfway through the run of this series. Are we starting to run short on ideas? Because this was not an exciting concept. It was the Transcontinental Railroad. Yeah. Thank God they did not bring in any Chinese people working on the railroad. Yes. For about a second, I thought that was going to happen, and it didn't.
In every show from the 60s and 70s, you always have to think, oh, they're going to, something.
I thought, oh no, they're going to have these little like, yes. Chinese, you know, thank God they didn't.
No.
But this was a weird musical number also, because normally they would use these musical numbers as a way to shoehorn everybody into the number, even if they just had like one thing. So I was,
because I kept looking. It's like, is Vicky and Lyle in the background dancing and Bert, you know, none of them.
No, Vicky wasn't in this. Bert wasn't in it. I can't remember. Was Harvey Korman?
Lyle and
it Harvey. It was really just an opportunity for like Carol and Nanette Fabre with all the chorus members, which I thought was disappointing because they could have figured out some fun things to do. Vicki Lawrence is an awesome singer, and at the time she was, you know, in her 20s, like young. I think they could have brought her in, and I think they missed an opportunity with this, but by far not my favorite musical number they've ever done on Carol Burnett either. There's been much better ones.
And she goes, next week our guest is going to be Tim Conway and somebody else. I'm like, oh,
well, you know, it's so funny. People always think about Tim Conway with Carol Burnett, but they need to remember he was a guest star for a good chunk of time.
Yes, he didn't come in until Lyle Waggoner left.
Right.
And then he became a regular cast member and a regular writer on the show.
Right. And she did her typical, I'm so glad we had this time together. And she has Nanette Fabre and Bert sign her autograph book like she always did. And Vicki Lawrence and Lyle come out in their tuxedos and Harvey. And it's the end of the show. Yeah. But I was like, wow, we didn't really see Vicki Lawrence except in that commercial.
I think is that the only? Yeah, that is the only.
And who knows? Maybe she might have been working on something else at the time. So maybe just.
Even though Lyle was not in a lot, well, not less. Lyle is also the announcer of
yes.
the show.
Well, that wasn't that originally the plan? He was the announcer, but he was so good looking that Carol brought him in to do more stuff.
Probably. All I know is that Lyle and Adam West were up for Batman.
Well, Lyle yes. Waggoner managed his money really well and then made probably one of the smartest investments in Hollywood ever. He invested in wagons, trailers for on set, and so there's a company called Star Wagons with two G's. That's Lyle Waggoner's company. Lyle Waggoner pretty much cornered the market on trailers on set.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, he like lived comfortably, and you know, I mean, of course, he went on to do Wonder Woman, but made a really smart investment in basically supplying the trailers that stars take their breaks and lunch and nap and stuff on set. So I love the Carol Burnett Show. I always recommend watching the Carol Burnett Show. It can't go wrong. It's a little dated, but comedy, the physical comedy is always so good. Like I say, you can watch it on Pluto. You can watch it on Amazon. There's a lot of episodes, but if you get a chance, watch Carol Burnett with or without Burt Reynolds.
The sketches with Tim Conway and Harvey Korman are just classics.
I always thought Harvey Korman was kind of underrated.
Oh, absolutely.
I he was so solid, so funny.
Yeah.
Some of the characters he came up with were so good. He's good in movies, you know, like whenever he would, like we talked about, like History of the World Part 1. But yeah, so funny.
Well, Mel Brooks said he was the second best straight man next to a Carl Reiner.
I believe that. And maybe Desi Arnaz. I don't know. So, yeah, you know, I guess we'd have to dig around and see. Maybe we can find some other variety shows that Burt Reynolds.
Oh, Burt did a lot. I know he did the Sonny and Cher show.
Oh, that'd be fun.
He was on endless Carson appearances.
Yes, because they even mentioned in the beginning of this episode, one of the audience members says, oh, I love when you guest hosted for Johnny. Are you going to do your own talk show? And he said, no, and Burt never did his own talk show.
No, he never did his own talk show.
But yeah.
But he was like an A-plus guest.
Did it make you think at all about Norm Macdonald playing Burt Reynolds when they would do a sketch and he would play Burt Reynolds like on The Tonight Show making Chris Farley as Dom DeLuise pee his pants yeah. and stuff like that? So I always think that was funny.
Norm said that they were supposed to get Burt on one of the Celebrity Jeopardies. It didn't work out. Oh, I would have loved it.
That would have been great. That would have been great.
It's a fun show. Like, Bert is solid in this show.
Yeah.
Every time Bert is on the screen, he's solid. He's having fun. And like I said, it's the Carol Burnett Show. It's classic. You can't go wrong with that. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. And we'll see everybody here next time on the Burt Reynolds and Charles Bronson Podcast.
Thanks for having me again. Bye, everybody.
To support this podcast, please go to www.patreon.com/ScottWhite and give what you're able. If you're listening on iTunes, please give a review. This should help people find the podcast when they're searching. No matter what services you use to listen, please leave feedback. We always want to improve. Thank you for listening to the Burt Reynolds and Charles Bronson Podcast.
Hey, be sure and be with us next week when our guests will be Tim Conway and Edie Gourmet. And remember, it's your America, so join the fight against pollution. I'm so glad we had this time together, just to have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, comes a time we have to say so.
Part of the Cardinal was played by Bob Duggan.
This has been a Cross the Streams Media Podcast.